From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on May 28th, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. On this episode of The Lead, we look at some recent developments on the campaign trail. The Atlantic hurricane season starts on Saturday, and forecasters expect an above-average season. So we talk with SC Emergency Management Director Kim Stenson about what you need to know. We look at a few of the bills that the governor signed recently into law and three he vetoed. And former Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley was in Israel. The Lead loves to hear from you all. That's why we have a voicemail box set up at 803-563-7169. Tell us about your long Memorial Day weekend, what you did, what you're doing for summer now that summer is unofficially underway. You know how that goes.
Yes.
One thing you can't skip this summer is listening to Ye Olde Lead. That's right. You can take us anywhere you go.
Wow.
Just check out a podcast app. We're on YouTube. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're on Amazon. We're everywhere, folks. So take us with you while you go on the road this summer. And when you're out and about, give us a shout. 803-563-7169. All right, let's take a look at what's on tap this week, starting with the governor.
Fine!
We're still waiting on the governor's schedule to be released, but expect him to have a ceremonial bill signing for the law prohibiting gender-affirming care for minors. Up in Congress, well, not much going on since everyone's off this week for Memorial Day, but lawmakers return next week. On the 2024 campaign trail, let's look at former President Donald Trump. Closing arguments were underway Tuesday as of our taping in Trump's hush money trial. The defense rested last Tuesday without Trump taking the stand. Another trail tidbit, on Trump's social media account, the account shared a campaign video with a headline about a unified Reich. The AP reports that, quote, the headline appears among messages flashing across the screen, such as Trump wins and economy booms. Other headlines appear to be references to World War I. The word Reich is often largely associated with Nazi Germany's Third Reich, though the references in the video Trump shared appear to be a reference to the formation of the modern Pan-German nation, unifying smaller states into a single Reich, or empire, in 1871. A campaign press secretary at the Trump campaign said in a statement that this was created by a random account online and posted by a staffer who clearly did not see the word while the president was in court. Meanwhile, the Biden campaign had already posted screenshots of the video to X, that was Twitter, claiming that the Trump campaign was, quote, echoing Nazi Germany, quote. And last week, Trump suggested he was, quote, looking at, quote, potential restrictions on contraceptives during an interview on a local Pittsburgh television station, an idea that he quickly backed away from on Truth Social, saying, in all caps, I have never and will never advocate imposing restrictions on birth control or other contraceptives, quote. All right, right there in writing. And on the primary campaign trail back here in South Carolina, 4th District Congressman William Timmons announced that Governor McMaster and Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evett have endorsed him over State Representative Adam Morgan. It's one of those big primary races that we're watching. Again, the primary is on June 11th. We'll have live coverage on ETV and SC Public Radio.
Awesome.
But let's go back to McMaster, where the governor had a busy week last week dealing with those final bills that were passed in the last days of the legislative session. He was signing them into law, folks. That's right, the last step of how a bill becomes a law. He, in fact, signed 57 bills into law, including a variety of issues from naming a new state seabird, big stuff here, folks, to using the federal minimum wage for inmate labor, and others, including one bill that dealt with prohibiting gender-affirming care for those under the age of 18. The latest setback for transgender folks in the state. Expect that to be challenged in the courts, similar to other states. Another bill the governor signed into law was one that defines anti-Semitism. Now, this is not a hate crimes bill and really doesn't do much other than define what anti-Semitism is. It defines it as a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions, and religious facilities. Now, this was a bill sponsored and guided by the lone Jewish lawmaker in the state, Columbia Democratic Representative Beth Bernstein, who was at the bill signing on Thursday.
Although the rise in anti-Semitic events in the United States have consistently increased over the last decade, these incidences have skyrocketed by as much as 360% since the October 7th massacre, according to the Anti-Defamation League. And to even begin to solve this problem of anti-Semitism, there must be clarity about what it is and what it is not. That's why in 2016, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, IHRA, built international consensus around a non-legally binding definition that offers clear guidelines and guardrails. In the United States, 33 states and the District of Columbia, along with the current administration, the institutes of higher education, have adopted either by proclamation, executive order, or by statute, this IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, so that it can be used as an essential tool to clarify what anti-Semitism looks and sounds like in the 21st century.
The governor also vetoed three bills.
Three.
One was H. 4248, which seeks to authorize conditional discharge for first-time offenders charged with selling alcohol to minors and expungement of their record. McMaster, in his veto message, said that he believes in the rule of law and an individual's criminal history being instructive and not needing to be destructive. McMaster vetoed S. 1166, which would dismiss pending gun charges for crimes that are no longer illegal under current permitless carry laws. The governor wrote in part, quote, "When the defendants who would benefit from these dismissals committed their alleged crimes, their alleged actions were, in fact, unlawful." The other bill he vetoed was S. 112, which offers expungement of multiple convictions for passing fraudulent checks. Now, lawmakers can take up those vetoes when they return on June 5th. Speaking of legislative matters, the Budget Conference Committee met for the first time on Tuesday.
All right!
For a total of 4 minutes. The three House and three Senate lawmakers are tasked with ironing out the differences between their multi-billion dollar spending plans. This comes as state economists approved additional revenue to the tune of some $600 million available for appropriation. So far, the conference committee has agreed on common ground between House and Senate budgets, which includes things like teacher pay raises and step increases. Now, I know we are the South Carolina lead, but we're going to go global for just a quick moment because our former Governor Nikki Haley and former United Nations Ambassador visited the Israel-Gaza border on Memorial Day as part of a solidarity visit to show her support for Israel amid the escalating seven-month-long conflict. Haley visited several sites in the area where the October 7th massacre by Hamas took place. Danny Danon, who served as Israel's ambassador to the United Nations during Haley's time there, was accompanying her. Here's Haley.
What America needs to understand is if Israel's fighting our enemies, how can we not help them? The sure way to not help Israel is to withhold weapons. The sure way to not help Israel is to praise the ICC or the ICJ or any of those that are condemning Israel instead of condemning what happens. America needs to do whatever Israel needs and stop telling them how to fight this war. Until you've lived it, you can't say how to fight it. You're either a friend or you're not a friend.
Haley also visited the West Bank on Tuesday and inscribed on a bomb, "Finish them, America loves Israel always." Nikki Haley, quote. On Sunday, a missile strike by Israel in the southern Gaza city of Rafah, meant to target two Hamas leaders, led to a fire that killed 45 people and wounded nearly 250 others, according to the New York Times. Now, all of this comes after Haley's first big speech at the Hudson Institute, a conservative think tank in Washington where she's currently a fellow. That took place last Wednesday, and she made headlines by saying that she will, in fact, vote for former President Donald Trump. That was in the last episode. This after she dropped out of the 2024 presidential race in early March after only winning one primary, Washington, D.C., though she still has received votes in states that she didn't even campaign in. So is Haley gearing up for a gig in a possible future Trump administration? It's certainly a good way to stay relevant if you're looking to run for president again in the future, but it has its share of pitfalls and the risk of alienating a coalition of people looking for a Trump alternative that she worked to cultivate. So we'll see. We'll see. summer is about to pop off, folks, and you know what Saturday is for?
What's that?
The start of hurricane season.
Oh, no!
Yeah, sorry about that. So with that being said, know your evacuation zone if you're on the coast, update your emergency kit wherever you are in the state, and check and replace batteries and provisions that may be a bit stale. If you got some granola bars in the go bag, maybe it's time to swap them out, eat the old ones. Do what you need to do. Organize any important documents and create a checklist so you don't forget things should you have to evacuate during a hurricane or an emergency. And of course, these precautions, like I said, extend inland as well. So a great time to prepare for any kind of emergency, especially since the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration issued its outlook for the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season, which, like we said, runs from June 1st on Saturday to November 30th. NOAA predicts an 85% chance of an above-normal season, so this is going to be busy. NOAA is forecasting a range of 17 to 25 total named storms. Of those, 8 to 13 are forecast to become hurricanes, including 4 to 7 major hurricanes. The upcoming Atlantic hurricane season is expected to be, like we said, above normal due to a confluence of factors, including near-record warm ocean temperatures in the Atlantic, development of a La Niña condition in the Pacific, reduced Atlantic trade winds, and less wind shear, all of which tend to favor tropical storm formation. So as we prepare for the hurricane season, I want to share my interview with South Carolina Emergency Management Division Director Kim Stenson, who sat down with me on This Week in South Carolina. I started out by asking him about NOAA's hurricane season outlook and how the state prepares for these situations.
Well, there's two parts to it. The first part is it really doesn't mean much in terms of our preparation at the state and local level in emergency management. One thing that we can pretty much take for granted is that almost every year we're going to have a hurricane come somewhere nearby South Carolina, may or may not affect us. Mm-hmm. Like Hurricane Idalia last year wasn't a big storm, but it came to near South Carolina, and we had to take the appropriate action. But we went through our hurricane decision-making and recommendation process with the governor, and we validated that, so that was good. So we're really not going to do anything different than we normally do in terms of that preparation. But the second point really would be, because it looks like it's going to be a very active year, that we would stress citizen preparedness in terms of our citizens knowing the threat and being able to respond individually when we do have a hurricane affecting South Carolina.
Tell us, when it comes to what y'all do in preparation, Kim, what goes into that? So when we do have some sort of disturbance off the coast in the Atlantic, you guys are ready to go through the motions. What goes into it right now?
Well, there's a couple of plans that we update every year, and they've either been updated or be updated by the end of this month. And one of them is the State Emergency Operations Plan, which identifies missions and responsibilities for state agencies for any event, not just a hurricane event. What's in the Emergency Operations Plan is sort of the 90% solution. We tend to do the same things for each event. You know, we'll have sheltering, we may have some evacuation, there'll be health and medical concerns and that sort of thing. But that's the 90% solution. So we have hazard-specific plans for those events that make up that 10% so that we make sure that we get all those details and planning in position for events. And we have a very detailed hurricane plan which covers evacuation and sheltering and traffic control points and that sort of thing. So that plan will be updated by the end of this month. It should be coming out shortly for this year. Mm-hmm. And so we go through that. We have hurricane workshops for state agencies. Recently, the governor conducted a coastal tour down in Charleston in conjunction with the National Weather Service and NOAA hurricane hunters down in Charleston. And again, to get that awareness out to our citizens to ensure that they're ready for hurricane season. And then we'll have a governor's tabletop with state agency heads next month, and they will discuss with the governor in terms of any issues that they might have. And then also make sure that we're prepared to move forward, and he gets to hear that. And in many ways, it's we call it a tabletop exercise, but in many ways, it's a back brief to the governor so that he knows that his state agencies are ready for, in this case, a hurricane situation.
And everyone be on the same page. Kim, what's new this year in the toolkit? I know there's been some discussion about new zones, coastal evacuation zones. What do people need to know? What's new for folks? What's new for y'all at this point?
Well, we overhauled the evacuation zones this year for really the first time in about 10 years. Mm. And what we're looking at is making them more flexible, ensuring that we're evacuating the right number of people. We want to make sure everybody gets out of harm's way, certainly if they're in harm's way. But at the same time, we want to be very careful about not over-evacuating. Mm-hmm. And if we over-evacuate, then it runs into compliance issues later on for future events. Mm-hmm. Well, you told me to evacuate the last time, and I didn't have to do that. So one of the big points this year for the evacuation zones is we've got basically what I'll call a barrier island mm-hmm. evacuation zone, so that if it looks like it's just going to affect the barrier islands in a particular area, then we just evacuate those people there. We would recommend that to the governor anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, we can evacuate all zones if we need to, but it just gives us some more flexibility on the risk and making sure we don't over-evacuate.
And Kim, walk us through that decision-making process. Obviously, the governor makes that call, mm-hmm. but you and other members make recommendations to him during sure. that moment. Usually it's 24 to 48 hours, I think, before impact of a storm. So kind of walk us through what happens in the Emergency Operations Center when y'all are presented with this data and how this decision's made, essentially.
Well, we established what we call a disaster intelligence group a few years ago, and that group takes a look at the science and seeing where we're at and then makes projections, in some cases as much as 72 to 96 hours out. They will develop possible scenarios ranging from most likely to most dangerous to least likely. And we work through that. We make sure that the state agencies are aware of that. And then we also make sure that the local authorities in the coastal counties, they're all read into that as well. Mm-hmm. So we go through that process and it's updated daily, sometimes more often than that, leading up to a recommendation to the governor. Mm-hmm. A part of the process, a very critical part of the process, is to ensure that the local authorities agree with any recommendations we might make. Mm-hmm. And so we've been very fortunate. We get consensus. I personally call each one of the county emergency management directors every morning and say, hey, where are we at on this? And then, you know, soon after that, we go into a meeting with the governor and say, okay, this is what we're looking at right now. So it's a collective process. Mm-hmm. It's not done unilaterally. And then
top down. I mean, you really want to
exactly.
know what's going on the ground before you push something
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But what should folks be doing right now in preparation? I mean, of course, we always say it just takes one big storm. We're talking about possibly 4 to 7 major storms mm-hmm. out there this season. What do people need to start doing now that things are pretty relatively calm at this point?
Sure. Well, the first thing is everybody needs to know whatever the threat is, not just for hurricanes, but know the threat mm-hmm. and then have a plan. If you have to evacuate or you think you're going to need to evacuate, where you're going to go. If you think that you're going to stay, make sure that you have a supply kit to get you through a few days. We generally recommend at least 3 days worth of food and water, having access to a battery-operated radio, make sure that you've got bedding to take to a shelter if you need to go. But everybody, certainly in the coastal area, if they have to evacuate, should know where they're going to go. And we'll put shelters together. We'll validate those up at the, not the last minute, but you know, certainly make sure that we get the right ones lined up. But about probably more than 95% of the people that evacuate will not go to a shelter. Mm. They will go inland to a friend or family or, you know, sometimes a hotel. If you're going to do that, make sure you know where you're going to go. Shelters, you know, they're kind of a shelter of a last resort. Mm-hmm. They may not have cots. They may not have bedding and that sort of thing. So, you know, in terms of anything that you need to take with you, important papers, certainly medical records, make sure your medications are up to date, have a plan for your pet mm-hmm. as well. That's part of the evacuation plan. So the good thing is all that information is in our hurricane guide.
Did you go right there? Yeah.
Right, which we have. But we've got a new version of that, the 2024 hurricane guide, and mm-hmm. it's full of information on how citizens can get ready for a hurricane, what they need to do before, during, and after. Mm-hmm. And it's all laid out in there. It's available in a couple of forms. It's available online at our website at scemd.org. Mm-hmm. It's also available on our South Carolina Emergency Manager app.
You can watch that entire interview and find even more great content on youtube.com/South Carolina ETV.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. Oh, it's good to take a break from the news. I feel like I took a little too long of a break over Memorial Day weekend there at T-Shire, producer lead podcast.
Yes, I'm glad that you had a great little break and we're taking another little break here.
Sounds like someone's fishing for a question.
No, I'm not asking for any questions, Gavin.
So you had a great weekend too.
Oh, my weekend was great. It was filled with emergency pet hospitals and broken AC units. I had just about, I'm the poorest man on this podcast. Let's just say that. Anyway, Gavin, you know what I am rich in is calls.
Oh,
we're rich in calls and fans, but that doesn't mean stop calling.
No, keep calling. You have to keep calling.
So we are going to double dip here because emotionally I am drained and I do not have any fun topics to talk about, only disparate, sad things. So anyway, Rena is fine, by the way. Don't worry about that. Anyway, Gavin, we're going to double dip.
Yes.
First call. This is a longtime lead listener. We love him. He has his own name. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Gavin, AT, it's correspondent Kevin. Been a while since I checked in, so I'm going to pass along congratulations, AT, on the Little Eagles fan in training. Gavin, congratulations on yet another fine job at reporting a South Carolina legislative session. Winding up for summer, about to go up north again, get some more Wawa. All that good stuff, going to the big state of Delaware soon. And I went to Disney on Ice today. Made me miss the culinary delights that is the Masters with their $2 sandwiches, their affordable adult beverages, and all that good stuff. Y'all be good. Have a good summer.
Correspondent Kevin, thank you for that call. I love the shout-out to AT, and then he was... Kevin's like, and for you, Gavin,
yes.
I'm like, hard pause here. Where's this one going? Yeah. Another legislator. Yeah. Thank you. I know. That's my...
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin knows that if...
It's my eighth session, I think.
If one of us gets a compliment, the other one also needs
by
a compliment.
By law.
Yes.
By law.
It has to be even, okay? That's just how
we've
live.
We've gone to HR over this multiple times, and I said, he got what I didn't go on.
And that does hold up in court. sadly, it does, okay?
We've sued each other so many times.
Yeah, it's sort of just, it's part of a process.
They're not frivolous. Yeah, it's part of our process.
The show would not be as good if it weren't for the litigation behind the scenes. Anyway, Gavin, Kevin, thank you so much. Enjoy Wawa.
It might be
Hoagie Fest while you're
Yogi
there.
Yogi Fest.
Oh, Yogi.
R.I.P.
Oh, Yogi. R.I.P. Yogi.
I'm so sorry.
Yogi.
Old cat.
My old
Yogi. He almost had another Yogi situation. I can't.
Okay.
Okay. Shake it off.
Anyway. And yes, Disney, they're going to gouge you.
They're going to get you.
They're going to get you. They're not the very nice Masters.
The shareholders demand value, AT, okay?
It's like the $1.50 hot dog at Costco, okay? It's going to stay $1.50 over my dead body.
You come get it in my cold dead onions.
That's right. I almost ate one the other day. I've never had one, but I almost did it.
I think I've had one.
The carnal delights of the foot-long hot dog while spending too much money on big stuff.
I'm going to take you out for a big lunch.
I'm going to take you out,
and we're going to do all the whole Costco menu just to get your mind off things.
Yeah, one of everything, please. Anyway, Gavin, speaking of one of everything, here's a second call. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Gavin and AT. This is Felicity calling from Columbia. Well, actually, right now I'm calling from the middle of the highway where there's a lot of Buc-ee's and South of the Border billboards, because you guessed it, I'm headed to Dirty Myrtle for Memorial Day weekend. I'm just calling because you guys are my favorite road trip podcast, and I've fallen off the lead wagon in the last couple years as I've been finishing up college, but now y'all have won me back over. Also, because this spring I started my first big girl job. I graduated college from USC, go Cox, in December. Started my big girl job working in state policy stuff in Columbia. So I've especially appreciated the lead for helping me keep track of all the crazy things that have been going on in the General Assembly. I had my first legislative testimony this spring before the House Judiciary Committee. You may remember the meeting. It was where the woman sang a whole song. And I was one who testified directly after she sang a whole song. So there was not, I don't think they really listened to me. I think everyone was still in shock. But, you know, I got to forgive testimony. That's what matters. So anyways, the first legislative session at the big girl job has been kind of exhausting. The week after Sine Die, I did my annual post-finals week tradition. But now Sine Die is kind of like the grown-up finals week. But I celebrated by getting horribly sick. All the adrenaline wore off, and so I spent the last week laying in bed mostly. But now I'm finally back in shape, and hopefully headed into June, as all the conference committees and stuff come out, things will be a little less hectic than they've been over the last couple weeks. And over the summer, I'll get to do some more larger research projects, that kind of thing. Just wanted to say that I appreciate you guys and the podcast that you continue to do and your fun commentary on state legislature stuff that a lot of people don't get as in the weeds with me as y'all do on the podcast. So I appreciate it. So wanted to say hi. Hope everyone listening has had a great holiday weekend. And I hope you yourselves are lucky enough to not be dealing with Myrtle Beach traffic for Memorial Day, unlike me. So cheers. Hope you all have a lovely rest of your weekend. Bye.
Felicity, thank you so much for calling. I think I know Felicity, if it's the same one that I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Met her back in 2016 when she was, I guess, just not even, maybe she was, I guess that was 8 years ago. So yeah, almost a teen, like one of those young political kids that are like following the campaign trail. And I think it was like a Ted Cruz event. She was like, you know, a middle schooler, high schooler at this Ted Cruz event. You're like, what are you doing here? Of course, you have to interview the kids. You're like,
sure.
What is this?
Yeah, why are you here?
And now here's like, you know, we continue this arc and she's graduated. Now she's doing policy testimony. I will say maybe sing that testimony next time, Felicity.
Yeah,
it really did get picked up by a lot of folks.
We played it, you know.
It was irrelevant to the situation, but everyone paid attention to it.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard act to follow, I got to say. Good for you for sticking to your guns and giving your speech not in song after that, you know?
Also, congratulations on your first big girl job and going through the whole session in that job because you're like, yeah, then after the adrenaline wore off, you're like, you're exhausted. I'm like, yeah, that's the session taking it all out of you at the very end. Oh God, you looked at all in the field.
That's truly what it is to be an adult
growing
right
up
there.
Finals week, she said.
You tried so hard and your body, you're not young anymore and you can't bounce back. You're younger than us.
You're
but
what is this? Yeah, it only gets harder.
It only gets worse. Trust me. My back hurts just from holding my child.
I mean, just thinking back to January and February when I was like, go, go, go. I'm like, all that's a lifetime ago now, but I was rewatching some of the old This Week in South Carolina episodes and was completely triggered.
Yes.
Again, I was like, oh my God, my friend of mine was like, how did you do all that? I'm like, I don't know.
I
just closed my eyes and just.
One word, trauma.
Trauma. Did I do it to myself? Yes.
Trauma.
But like I did it for y'all. I did it for y'all.
That's what Gavin does. I work on my paternal leave. So like we're both broken people.
You get used to it. It makes you stronger, as they say.
Oh, it absolutely
doesn't hurt you. It makes you stronger.
Yeah. So Felicity, hey.
Hey, listen here. Hey.
Listen up, okay? It's only going to get harder. All right,
Justin? Hey, lights a cigarette. Hey,
yeah, I got
here.
The longest cigarette out of Shelley Duvall from The Shining. Know what I mean? But yeah. I'm glad. You came back to us.
Yes,
it truly is like Olive Garden and Fast and Furious here. When you are here, you are family. So there's always a spot at our table if you want to say grace and drink some Coronas with the boys. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you have to take a break from us, but we're always going to be here for you when you go come
always
back.
There.
Just like what was it, Lizzie? I mean, she thought we left her.
Yeah, we would never.
We never do that.
We
you guys can
never.
Leave us. You can come and go as you please. That's what we're here for.
It's an open door policy, but Gavin, this door. While it has to stay open, we must close it on this episode.
Look at that segue.
We will be back at the end of the week. He's still got it, okay?
He's back.
He's
I hear him in there still.
So go ahead, give the outro. We love you all. Go and comment you please. It doesn't matter. We don't care. We're going to still do it. We're sick anyway. Goodbye.
Thanks again to y'all for listening to the pod. You can show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or a voicemail like correspondent Kevin and Felicity did by calling 803-563-7169. We'll take anything you give us, though we will edit it if it's inappropriate. At our discretion. You can always stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
And I was like, Caitlin, you think I'd give Rena a little hummus, right?